Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview special. An empath is someone who is highly aware of their emotions and the emotions of others, to the point of feeling those emotions themselves. Because of their strong sensitivity and tendency to absorb other people's energy, they tend to experience overwhelm in our busy and fast-paced world. To get insights into how to deal with empathic overwhelm, I spoke with Jennifer Moore. Jennifer is a mentor, author, and teacher for sensitive, intuitive women. With over 30 years of professional experience, a master's degree in psychology and religion, and an EFT accreditation, she brings depth, compassion, and wisdom to her work. She's also the founder of Empathic Mastery Academy. Join us for this conversation where Jennifer describes the different levels of empathy and tools and techniques that we can use to address common pain points and how we can meet our emotional and spiritual needs. She also speaks about EFT and its effectiveness in emotional management. Hi, Jennifer. How are you doing today?
I am doing so well. It is so lovely to hear your voice.
I know. I'm so excited about speaking with you today about your work and specifically about your expertise on empaths and intuitives. You know, as an empath myself, I know that we could really use some help in finding balance and finding our way in the world.
Absolutely. Well, and considering what's going on in the world right now, you don't have to look too far to see things that are deeply distressing.
Right.
And for those of us who are highly sensitive and empathic, not only are we feeling our own feelings about it, but we're often feeling other
the collective.
People's feelings. Yeah. The collective. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. So I would like to start our conversation by learning a little bit about you. When did you realize that you are an intuitive, and how did it lead you to doing the work that you do today?
Oh, that is such an amazing and big question.
Yeah.
So the very first time I realized there was something going on was when I was 9 years old. And I had this very vivid dream that my mother died. And the next day was the most awful day in my entire little girl life. Like it was just I felt just completely like somebody had driven a Mack truck into my solar plexus. And at the end of the day, we were at dinner and my mom announced that our former next door neighbor, who had been the mother of my very first BFF, mm-hmm. had died of breast cancer that night.
Oh.
And I knew immediately that my dream was directly connected to this experience, and that the way my mind interpreted the death of my best friend's mother, and they had moved a number of years before that. So it was like there was no actual connection between me and her at that point in time, but I still had such a strong connection. I just immediately had this dream, and I knew that there was something to it. And I was nine. And so that was when I first started realizing that there was something. But nobody even had words for it back
right,
then.
Right, yeah, especially as a nine-year-old. Like,
yeah, and we're talking in the 70s at
okay.
that point in time. Like, you know, we're talking early 1970s. And, you know, telepathy and ESP was a brand new thing. So it was actually a few years later when my mom and I were out and she said, I just read this article about this thing called ES. And it's almost like the P just echoes in my head because it was one of those like bells just ringing, letting me know that this was super important. And so at that point, I started going to the library and grabbing every single book that I could find on paranormal research and on telepathy and extrasensory perception, and just started investigating it. And so I knew I was intuitive. I knew I was psychic. I knew I had these abilities, but I didn't actually know or have the language for being an empath. And it wasn't until I was in my very late teens and off at college when I met another empath who flagged me and basically said, you're an empath just like me. And that's when I had I started to have language and vocabulary. And at that point in time, the use of the word empath was pretty much strictly relegated to science fiction. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, the place where most people even learned about it was in this really awesome but super cheesy original Star Trek episode called The Empath.
Okay.
So yeah, I highly recommend for anybody who is empathic to go find it somewhere.
Okay.
Because it's very telling, because the character in this story who's the empath, her name is Jem, which ironically is my name too, is Jennifer Elizabeth Moore. But what she does is she goes to Spock, Kirk, and McCoy, who are completely wounded, and she goes and touches them and gets these anguished looks on her face. And then suddenly all the wounds are on her and they disappear from them. And then she just collapses in a heap. And so that was my first exposure to how to be an empathic healer.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know about empaths until a few years ago. And I used to think that was only associated with psychic abilities.
Yes, yes. And in my experience, there's a really big difference between being psychic and being an empathic.
Yeah.
Although they often go
overlap.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. And when did you realize that, you know, you can actually use these skills to professionally and help people?
In some ways, I've always had that sense. In some ways, I've always known that it was possible to use my abilities to support and heal people. What I would say is that, but when I first started doing this, I had very bad spiritual and energetic hygiene. And I had been taught from these models of you just go lay your hands on somebody or you listen to somebody and you siphon off all their pain and agony, and then they feel better and you walk away feeling just absolutely lousy. And I
because you soak it in,
that was
right?
How it worked. You just soak it in.
Yeah.
And so I started working as an intuitive and working as a psychic actually in my late teens, early 20s. Like I always knew this was my path. The problem for me was that I was getting really depleted. I was getting really drained and I was experiencing a lot of anxiousness and depression that wasn't even my own because I was absorbing so much stuff all of the time.
Yeah, I get.
And what? Yeah.
No, I said I understand that because I've had similar experiences.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I know very few empathic people who, especially in this culture where we are not really taught proper boundaries and we're not necessarily taught how to live in a healthy way with these abilities. I think that this is something that most of us go through, is this taking on everybody else's pain,
feeling
the need to rescue and fix. It's really a challenge. Yeah.
Right.
And the other thing that I've noticed happens as a result of this is that we cannot sustain a viable practice and we don't usually make enough money because we get ourselves so drained and so depleted that we pull the emergency brake and block our success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
you know, we're talking about empaths. Like, for those who don't really know what they are, could you please explain, like, how, like, what are the characteristics of an empath and how are they different from other people?
I would love to answer that question. So the first thing I want to say about empaths is that in my personal experience, there's a spectrum. And there are, and so it's not like absolutely every single person who considers themselves an empath is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. There's degrees of being empathic. So first off, let's just talk about what the word empathy means. So empathy is the ability to imagine how somebody else is feeling. It's the ability to put ourselves in that person's shoes and to identify with them. And there are many people who have empathy, who have that ability to be kind and compassionate and recognize what somebody else is going through, even if it does not resemble their personal experience. Then there's what I call empathic, which is the ability to not just have empathy, but the ability to start picking up and absorbing or sensing the thoughts, the feelings, the sensation, the energy of the world around us. And then there are what I would call empaths, who are the people who have a tendency to be so porous and emotionally and psychically or energetically absorbent that they are generally experiencing the sensations going on in the world around them. And one of the big challenges of being an empath who hasn't learned any tools is that empaths very often cannot recognize what's theirs and what isn't theirs. Mm-hmm. And very frequently are picking up on things and just assuming that the reason they're feeling this way is something about them, when the truth is it's so much more than them. And in my experience, it goes from somebody who may be somewhat sensitive to the people in their inner circle or they're sort of in their general midst. Say you've got a work colleague who's really just cranky Debbie Downer, and every time you're around them, you're feeling it.
Yeah.
Versus people who go, who are so empathic that they feel the world, that they feel the strain on this planet. They feel the fires in the Amazon and sense the anguish of the animals and the plants and everything that is here. And then there are the people who not only are picking up all of that, but their delineation between time and space is even just very thin, in the sense of they can be picking up information from the past. They can be picking up information from the present. They can be picking up information from the future. Sometimes they're picking things up from people who are already people and animals and creatures, beings from the other side. Some people are so sensitive, they're picking up things from other dimensions. They're communicating with extraterrestrials.
And oh, wow.
So it can go from, you know, having sympathy and awareness of what somebody else is going through to not being able to distinguish between what's me and what is the rest of the world around me.
Well, I'm just exhausted listening to you. I mean, about all the things that happened. Yeah, I mean, I totally can relate to that. I mean, I've definitely felt, I felt that I can't say I feel what's happening in, you know, extraterrestrial world, but definitely like I can sense what's happening around me. But so, you know, given the fact that, you know, empaths obviously can get so overwhelmed with everything that's happening around them, what can they do to kind of build some boundaries and manage that empathic overwhelm?
This is just one of my favorite questions of all. And first off, what I want to say is that in my personal experience, a lot of the suggestions that are out there don't really cut it for empaths. Things like just let it go. Yeah.
If
you're
really
sensitive and empathic, yeah, it's like, excuse me, how the ever living F can I possibly do that? So just let it go. I'm just going to say thank you for sharing, you know, bye-bye. Don't let the door hit you in the butt on your way out. but also the suggestions of, oh, just put bubble up, put a ball of light around yourself. Just don't let it bother you. You know, just like, you know, just be the light, all of that kind of stuff. The problem in my experience with that is that it also doesn't work because it doesn't address one of the major issues that empaths have, which is that we're already carrying around the stuff. So I've actually created, and this is like 35 years of hard won knowledge, created a system specifically for empaths called the Empathic Mastery System. And it's a 5-step system because what I discovered is most people go straight for protection and boundaries. But the thing is, we have to do a couple things first. Mm-hmm. So the first step of empathic mastery is recognize. We must recognize that we're in a state of distress. We must recognize that maybe we are carrying something else that is not ours, and recognize what is ours, what is not ours. Is this a trigger because somebody said something and it brought us back to when we were 9 years old in third grade and, you know, like Jimmy Morris pulled our hair? You know, there's the recognizing what is going on and doing the inner searching, probing work to be able to distinguish, is this about me or is this about something else? Then once we have that ability to recognize, we can move to release. And release is all about letting go of the stuff that is not ours, that no longer serves us, and that we don't need to be carrying around. After we've done that, then we can protect ourselves. And so the third step is protect, because I always say that if you try to protect yourself before you've let go of the stuff, it's kind of like drawing a bath, taking a bath when you've been really, really dirty, and then jumping out of the bathtub and not draining the tub, but just pulling the shower curtain around it and saying it's all good. That bathwater is still going to be dirty and stinky, and no amount of shower curtain or ball of light is going to make you feel better if right. you're already feeling it. So protect is the third step. And then because the universe abhors a vacuum, and in order to not continue to go back to the old ways and absorb negativity, what we need to do is connect. And connect with a power greater than ourselves, with light, with love, with divine source, so that we are charged and filled as opposed to walking around empty and looking and easily ready to absorb something again. And then finally, after recognize, release, protect, connect, the final step is act, which is where we really start examining our own behavior. We start looking at our boundaries. We start looking at how can we do these things differently. So instead of necessarily just when we see somebody in need and we're completely depleted already, just running head on in to be the savior and the rescuer, really checking ourselves and going, do I have the resources to help somebody with this right now? Is this my job? Is this my responsibility? Am I the one who's supposed to be doing this?
Right. Wow. That's very comprehensive. And I knew I was missing a couple of steps because, you know, that the, you know, what they usually say about the bubble of light and everything, like that didn't work for me. So I'm so glad that you created the system. It's definitely going to help for sure.
It has been life-changing for me and for my clients. Mm-hmm. I have watched miracles happen. And I mean, I've had so many conversations with so many empathic people over the years. And I've heard this complaint over and over and over again as I try the solutions that these spiritual programs are suggesting, and they just don't cut it.
They don't cut it, yeah.
They don't cut it. And a big, big piece of this is because it's not acknowledging what it means to be somebody who has already absorbed all of the intensity and the energy and the, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that we absorb as empaths.
Yeah, I mean, I actually consulted a spiritual counselor or coach. And I mean, I consulted her because I wanted to like cut some cords because I felt I was enmeshed with someone else's energy. And, mm-hmm. you know, she gave me a very simplistic solution, like the one that you talked about. And I was wondering, why is it not working? You know, there's obviously something that I'm missing.
Yeah, I mean, I would, and this is actually kind of goes back to the thing of the difference between being a psychic and an empath.
Yeah.
You know, you can have somebody who is very psychic, but not an empath. Mm-hmm. And what my personal experience with somebody who's a psychic is that psychic information has almost a sort of a filter or a separation between self and other. Most psychics are very aware that the information coming in is not from themselves. And there's a certain almost like detachment from it. It's kind of more like watching a movie or television than or listening to a book or reading a letter or seeing something from a distance. And so I think that for psychics, this kind of information, this kind of approach is more effective. And the other piece I've noticed is that in many of these spiritual programs, they're trying to teach you how to be more open, how to receive more information. That, in my experience, is not what empaths need. We are already wide open and taking in way too much information. Our challenge is about being able to recognize and actually parse it out and process it in a healthier way.
Wow. Yeah, and another tool that you recommend is EFT. So what exactly is that and how can it help us manage our emotions?
So EFT is like the best thing since the invention of fire. So EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques. So just even in the words themselves, you can hear that emotional freedom is the root of all of this. And the best and simplest way to describe EFT is that it is like a form of emotional and mental acupuncture. And what it does is by focusing on an issue, it could be a thought, a feeling, an emotion, a physical sensation in our body, a memory of something that happened in the past, the sky's the limit. But something that is going on for us that is holding us back or inhibiting us in some way or causing us discomfort and distress. We focus on that thing. And then as we focus on it, we use either light pressure or tapping on specific acupressure points and sort of endpoints of the acupuncture meridians on our hands, on our head, and on our torso. And a couple others, there are a couple other places on the rest of the body, but they're not usually used for this, what's called the basic recipe. Mm-hmm. And so as we tap, it's also known as tapping, as we tap on these specific acupressure points, basically what we do is we reboot our entire nervous system and we reset the fight or flight mechanism that is going on, that is in our brain, that is known as the amygdala. And what happens is as we reset the amygdala, we calm our nervous system and our body down, and we basically reprogram ourselves so our body knows that we are not in danger. Mm-hmm. For some of us, this, when we really experience the relief of tapping, it could be the very first time in our entire life that we have not been in a state of fight or flight.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for me, I had been working as a healer for many years when I first discovered EFT. And I'll be honest, it didn't grab me at the very first. It was confusing. I found it a little awkward and a little strange. And at that point in time, what is called the basic recipe was a little more complicated. And then a few years later, I revisited it with a new version, sort of a simplified version of EFT. And it just so happened that within a couple months of revisiting it, I was driving in an ice storm. My husband was the driver. I was the passenger. We were in about 2 inches of freezing rain. And I have a history of car accidents. And so I was in a state of panic. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of casually asked him if he minded if I tapped. And I experienced profound relief. I went from maybe like a 10 on the scale, you know, on the scale of 0 to 10 of distress, I was like way up there at a 10. And I went from this 10 down to a 0 within about 3 rounds of tapping, when where I was like, yeah, we're in a car accident. We're driving in ice. Yep, we could have a car accident. Yep, I could die. Oh, well. And it wasn't like I was blasé about it. It wasn't like I was just like, I don't care. It was just more like I was so calm and so relaxed that I was able to just be present in the moment and just surrender to whatever happens, I'm going to be okay. And that's when I went, oh my God, I need to learn how to use this tool, because I have used so many different modalities over the years, but this was the one that I found to be the most effective, the most efficient, and the most swift when it comes to getting relief.
Where can people learn more about it?
So there are a lot of different places where you can learn about EFT. I'm going to send people to the Mothership, which is the organization that I'm actually trained and accredited through. And that is called EFT International. So EFT, if you look up EFT International, and I believe it's EFTinternational.org at this point in time, we were formerly known as AMAT. There are so many good resources there. And I am actually an accredited master trainer through EFTI, because we are the largest nonprofit organization on the entire planet for promoting EFT. We have a community board of trustees, and we have a set of very rigorous standards that really, really keep everybody on the same page and really allow impeccability to be the absolute priority for how we approach EFT. So one thing I will say is that if you start, you know, scooting around the internets and you go on YouTube and you go in different places, you will find, or the listener is going to find, a lot of different examples of EFT and a lot of examples of tapping. And what I will say is not all tapping is created equal. And so if you try something and you find that it really isn't cutting it, especially like a tap along video on YouTube, that is not the same as clinically applied, very precise and specific emotional freedom technique that is using very specific techniques to address very specific individual problems.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because there are some amateurs out there who don't really know what they're doing.
Right. Well, and, you know, at this point in time, EFT is a cutting edge tool that is, and amazingly, we're getting more and more research out there that is really showing the effectiveness for EFT. There have been more studies done on EFT for managing PTSD for veterans than practically any other modality. And what has been found is that it's actually one of the most effective ways to help people with post-traumatic stress disorder and to help veterans to find relief after, you know, serving our country or serving their country and struggling and suffering. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that it is still a very new, it's a fairly new modality. And there's also not necessarily any criteria for who can call themselves an EFT practitioner or a tapping practitioner. So one thing I will just say is, when you are looking for a tapping practitioner, please ask them what their credentials are. Find out who and where they studied and what kinds of hoops they had to jump through in order to be considered a professional. Because there are people who just, you know, say, I use tapping in my practice, who probably took a class on Udemy or did a one-day seminar or something and have not jumped through the hoops. And the thing is, because there's so much information out there, a lot of people, I think it's really easy and think that they know how to use it so that they can just offer it up and say, hey, here, try this. And thankfully, it is remarkably effective. And even without knowledge, people can still get incredible results with it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You mentioned something about having good spiritual hygiene. What can people do to kind of make sure that they stay clean and they stay aligned with higher thoughts and higher vibration? Like, do you have any tips on how they can do that?
I guess what I would say in terms of staying aligned with, you know, a higher vibration, for me, so much of it is about taking personal responsibility for where we are, what is going on, how we are feeling, and really just being present and mindful in our body, in ourself, and committed to doing our personal work towards our own healing, our own recovery, our own journey. So where I think that right now we're living in a time where, I don't know if you've heard the term spiritual bypassing or light washing.
I have not.
No. So this is a term that's starting to, both of these are terms that are starting to go around a bit, talking about when basically there are these really agonizing things going on in the planet and the sort of love and light and just sort of going straight for the affirmations, straight for the positivity and just kind of going in and not necessarily dealing with the real present emotion. Mm-hmm. And so for me, true spiritual practice is the willingness to be willing to be present with whatever is, that willingness to accept that I am human and I am feeling these feelings. So one of the things that I will often say is, when in doubt, grieve, because there are things that we are, you know, as human beings, I think we avoid grief more than any other emotion.
Absolutely.
And so the willingness to show up for ourselves, I believe, is the first step towards having a healthy spiritual practice and keeping our spiritual hygiene and our personal energetic hygiene. Because the thing is, if we're not willing to own our own feelings, if we're not willing to recognize what's going on, we are much more prone to, one, jump in and rescue somebody. Mm-hmm. We're much more prone to have the inclination to not want somebody to feel what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And because if we don't want to feel our own feelings, it's very, very hard to hold the space for somebody who's going through a hard time themselves. And we will often be trying to fix it and make it better. And the truth is, there are a lot of things that are going on in this world that no amount of cheering somebody up is going to make different, you know, and there are just times where the best thing we can do is say, I'm so sorry you're going through this. This, I know that this is really difficult and I'm here. I can, you know, and just acknowledge as opposed to fix.
Right, right. Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, that brings us to the end of our conversation. Jennifer, I really enjoyed our chat today. Thank you so much for enlightening us on how we can become more spiritually aligned. And for all my listeners who are not familiar with your work, could you please let them know where they can find you and learn more about your services?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So if you want to find out where you fall on the highly sensitive and empathic spectrum, check out empathicwoman.com, because that is where I created a quiz that will give you a sense of where you actually fall on that. And to be one of my VIPs and to actually be signed up to learn all about my brand new book, Empathic Mastery, which is, if depending on when this comes out, it is coming out on October 1st, 2019. And you can go over to empathsunite.com to sign up and to be notified about all kinds of amazing, awesome things. And I will say that this book is 35 years of hard-won wisdom. It is absolutely a labor of love. I am so proud of it, and I cannot wait to share it with the world. So to learn more about that, go to empathsunite.com. To learn more about yourself, go to empathicwoman.com. And Celine, thank you so much for having me here.
No worries,
Jennifer. It's really been a pleasure.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Take care, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.